Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you for remaining standing. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Like last week, we're going to look at many different passages in many different places, but we'll begin by reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Please follow along as I read God's holy word. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. May God bless the reading of His word. Would you please join me in prayer? Father, our prayer before the sermon is what we just had the opportunity to sing to your name together as a congregation. Show us Christ. May you reveal your glory through the preaching of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated, brothers and sisters. I'd encourage you to have your Bibles ready and your outlines next to you as we go through the sermon. I've had the opportunity to serve as a martial arts instructor for over 25 years now. And in those 25 years, my brother and I have had the opportunity to lead a bunch of students to their black belt. And it's very normal to have the student come to us, or maybe the parents of the student come to us. Let's say it's the parents. My kid wants to be a black belt. So we go, that's great. And we'll see that kid once or twice a month. And when the kid comes, he's not exactly excited to be there, and his work ethic isn't exactly stellar, and then maybe the parents will come to us after a while. Didn't I tell you I wanted my son to be a black belt? Yes, you did. Why doesn't he have a black belt yet? The black belt takes discipline. And we got to have a whole lot of that discipline to get from point A to the black belt at point B. And sometimes we'll have a student who has a ton of discipline, and the parent will come, my son wants to be a black belt, but he's got music on Monday, and he's got sports on Tuesday, and he's got youth group on Wednesday, and he's got to study for his college certificates and scholarships on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Now here is a kid with discipline. Going off of the sermon of a couple weeks ago from Ephesians, where we're supposed to redeem our time, this is a young man who's redeeming his time. But then I've got to be honest with this student. There's a lot of discipline here, but we don't just need discipline to get our black belt. We need discipline aimed in the right direction. And that'll get us from point A to point B, the black belt. Today, our topic is discipline yourself for godliness. This is based on a phrase from 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul, encouraging Timothy to be the man he needs to be, uses the phrase, discipline yourself for godliness. So this again, this kind of piggybacks on last week's sermon, if you were here. So Pastor Brian again, normally in the month of July, we would have guest pastors the whole month, but this year he said, why don't you take the first two? And so I got to preach on anything I want. So last week was the first thing I wanted to preach on. After praying for a month, God, what's the passion of my heart for the congregation, the passion of my heart for you all as my brothers and sisters in Christ is that you would love and obey and trust the Lord. That's my primary desire for you all. And then what would be a secondary desire for you all? It's that in your pursuit of godliness, that you desire to grow in godliness, and that you would have then the discipline to pursue godliness. Because godliness doesn't just come to us. We do have the Holy Spirit within us, but we don't just sit there and say, I'm ready, God, make me holy. Because the Bible says over and over and over again, these are good and wonderful things, and we are to give our effort in the pursuit of these things. So it takes a spiritual discipline. If that phrase might have jumped out at you, I am plagiarizing this morning. I am plagiarizing spiritual disciplines for the Christian life. This is a wonderful book. If you can see from where you're at, this is a very tattered book. I've gone through this many times. It's been a tremendous blessing to me, and he's got several different areas where he, I believe, points to the scripture very strongly. We're called to these things. We should desire these good and godly things, so we should desire to grow in these disciplines. So I'm going to very much borrow from his wisdom in our points today. Point number one, if we want to grow in godliness, we need to grow in the discipline of being able to read our Bible. Now, I need to stop. Let's just appreciate the fact we actually have a Bible in front of us that we can read. Think about our 2,000 years from Christ to now and how many of God's people throughout those generations did not have God's word in front of them. And they had to just listen every chance they got, or they had to borrow a fragment of God's word to study for that week, or how many had to borrow in hiding, knowing that their owning even a little bit of God's word was a death sentence to them. Let's appreciate how many people there are right now that don't have God's word in their language yet. And here we are on our devices. We have access to literally dozens of translations and literally dozens of languages. That's a blessing. And we understand then, at the time the Bible was being written, there is no command, read your Bible. Because not everybody had their Bible. And obviously at the time of Paul writing, the Bible was still being written. So the 66 books were not even accessible to them yet. So the book of Ephesians that we're going through, that had to be very carefully copied, with then those copies sent out to other faithful churches, which again could have been dangerous depending on what time frame we're talking about. So we are so, so, so blessed. My van coming to this building today, we had 6 copies of God's word. Each of us walked in to those doors with our own copy of God's holy inspired word. What a blessing that is. So with that, then the call is, brothers and sisters, letter A, we need to grow in discipline to read God's word. And let's start with, we need to grow in reading God's word in private. I've been calling it God's word. Tell you the Bible, God's word, scripture, all wonderful ways to describe this. Let's use God's word. This is God speaking to us. Okay, this is more important than the history books. This is more important than the science books. This is more important than the newspaper, because this is literally God speaking to us. And at a very basic level, if we want to improve in our relationships, there needs to be communication. No relationship will grow when communication is lacking. So if we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord, we need to hear the Lord speak to us. This is a very, again, a human understanding. We know that. We're not going to grow in our relationship with our spouse if we talk once a month. It's not going to cut it. We need to have that growth. We need to have that communication. And part of that communication with God speaking to us has to happen in private. This is not in your notes, the references. We'll have the verse on the screen behind me. Acts 17, 10 and 11. Maybe you've heard the encouragement, be like the Bereans. Maybe you've heard that. Who? Because there's not that much on the Bereans. So you'd almost be forgiven if you didn't know this passage. But when you look at this passage, this is very much the prayer of pastors. What a blessing it is for pastors who have a congregation who acts like the Bereans. Reading Acts 17, 10 and 11, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." First thing, here comes Paul and Silas. They had kind of a rougher missionary experience. They come into Berea. First thing, the people want to hear the preaching. Not all pastors have that blessing. Some pastors come into congregations and it's a war zone. So what a blessing to come in and preach God's word and the people are ready for it. Blessing number one. But then blessing number two, they don't just say thank you, that's a blessing. They go home. What Paul said sounded great. I hope it's right. Let's look. What Paul said, it sounds logical. There's a way to proof check it. Let's look. And they searched the scriptures they had access to with discipline and diligence. So these were a people that truly wanted to grow in wisdom, to grow in godliness, and they did their part. The verse we started with, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, this is now the Awana verse. For those of you that are familiar with the Awana program, this is a program where kids memorize God's word. Awana is a made-up word, five letters, A-W-A-N-A, approved workmen are not ashamed. So that phrase comes from this verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're a Facebook person or an Instagram person, I'm talking to you. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Some of my dear, dear social media friends, they throw Bible verses. Praise the Lord. And I look at the verse and I look at what they're talking about. I don't think that verse means what you think it means. Use God's word wisely. Know God's word. Memorize God's word. But grow in the discipline that when you use God's word, it's with wisdom and discernment and it applies to the topic at hand. Read the book of Job. That's a bunch of throwing facts. The school example I give, I really need help with my math problem. God will give you all strength. Praise the Lord, I believe that. Can you help me with my math problem? Stop doubting, brother. God will give you all strength. Amen, praise the Lord. What does this symbol mean again? Trust God, brother. Thank you for using God's word. Please use it correctly and show me what the symbol means. So we want to grow in that wisdom. We want to grow in that discernment. Doesn't happen by accident. We got to study. We got to discipline ourselves. And as we look at the verse, again, look at the verse. Not, the context matters too. But what's the context of this amazing verse? And now, by God's grace, when I use this verse, it's supporting what God is saying in this verse. So we have to do this work in private. And we got to do this work, letter B, in public. We believers should hear the Bible read corporately. We live in a very consumer-oriented society. Being someone who worked in industry enough, there's a phrase, the customer is always right. The customer's right like 15% of the time. But that's what we're told in this consumer-driven society. We're told the customer is always right. And we might bring that mindset into church. So we might come into church, and first, we're doing the weather check. It has to appeal to me. I have this small of a temperature comfort zone. So I expect it to be in my zone. I'm not really thinking about the zone of other people. The music has to be at my appropriate decibel level. Whether I'm hard of hearing or sensitive ears, it's got to be right where I need it. The chair has to have the appropriate bounce to it. The singers have to be in tune for every part. Every song has to be a song that I like. And then the sermon better be something new, something funny, and something that's a blessing, or I'm having roast pastor for lunch. And we come in with this mindset. And when we come into church with this mindset, I'm passive and everybody else better bless me. Now, I as the pastor have a very, very important role. In your notes and on the screen if you didn't have notes, this is question 159 from the Westminster Larger Catechism, written several hundred years ago. Question 159 says, how is the word of God to be preached by those that are called thereunto? And the answer is, they that are called to labor, work hard, in the ministry of the word, are to preach sound doctrine. And how are they to preach sound doctrine? They're to preach sound doctrine diligently, in season and out of season. They're to preach sound doctrine plainly, not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. They're to preach sound doctrine faithfully, making known the whole counsel of God. They're to preach sound doctrine wisely, applying themselves to the necessities and capacities of the hearers. They're to preach sound doctrine zealously, with fervent love to God and the souls of his people. And they're to preach sound doctrine sincerely, aiming at his glory and their conversion, edification, and salvation. I take these words very seriously. These words have caused me to want to quit numerous times, feeling the weight of the responsibility that I have here. And please know that by God's grace, I work real, real hard every time I'm here. I believe the words of 160 as well. Not just that there's a discipline and a responsibility on my shoulders, but there's a responsibility on all of our shoulders, and that we have to also grow in discipline as we receive the word. Question 160, what is required of those that hear the word preached? The answer is, it is required that of those that hear the word preached, that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. That they examine what they hear by the scriptures. That they receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. That they meditate and confer of it. That they hide it in their hearts and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. This is no passive responsibility. Sunday might be our day of rest, but we all have some work to do on Sunday mornings. We have to prioritize hearing the word read corporately, meaning we've got to prioritize being here on Sunday mornings, and we've got to prioritize then not just a body and a seat. I'm here to worship the Lord, and part of that worship means my heart is prepared to receive the word. And I believe that begins before Sunday morning. If I could go back to my youth growing up in the Gamble household, Saturday nights, and as we got older and as we were going 100 million directions with all of us, Saturday nights always meant we came together and we read whatever was going to be preached the next day. We'd read it, we'd pray, and then we would hear my dad say the words. We knew who he was talking to, but he had to repeat the words, and he didn't specifically say the names of who he was talking to. But he said the very important words, go find your shoes. Because for whatever reason in the Gamble house, shoes ran away without feet in them. And Sunday mornings, we had this routine where we got to leave in 5 minutes, and there would be voices. I'm not naming names. I won't say if it was more the girls or the boys. But there'd be words, I can't find my shoes. And we'd leave a little stressed, a little high strung, a little barefoot. My dad understood the importance of preparing. We're better able to serve God if we're not leaving that stressed. We're better able to be on time if we do a little disciplined work the day before. So we don't just prepare our hearts spiritually, we even do practical things like find the shoes you want to wear tomorrow. So when we're getting ready, there they are. And you put them on your feet. And we leave and we go to worship. We, as much as we can, include on the back of your outline the next week's sermon text. If you turn your sermon over, you can see very clearly next week's sermon text is not there. I printed this 2 weeks ago before I knew what Eric was preaching on. Eric, what are you preaching on? If you got a pencil, write that down. Psalm 86. At least once this week, read Psalm 86. Pray that God would speak to you through Psalm 86. Pray for Brother Eric, who's going to bless us with the word next week as he brings to us Psalm 86. Some of you came in really upset this morning. Eric, you preaching today? No, I'm next week. Aw. He's next week. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's work real, real hard. Let's start preparing our hearts for next week tonight. In our prayer tonight, start praying that God would bless us through the word next week. As we're doing these things, when we walk through those doors, our mindset is much less serve me and much more I want to be blessed. And let me be a blessing. Letter C. Believers also should read their Bibles with their family. And this is different for some of us in different situations, obviously. Not all of us have young kids in our homes or whatever. This applies to some of us more than others. But we have to really take seriously as parents the responsibility we have to make sure our kids are hearing God's word regularly. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If you're here last week, that should sound familiar. Then verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I don't think we take that literally in every situation. I believe this is talking about the heart that we are supposed to have. God's word is a normal way of living in our household. Circumstances come up, and the first thing that comes to mind is, what does God say about that? And we're going to the word, and we're going to the word. And parents, hear me. We have this responsibility. We don't pass it off to the Christian school. We don't pass this off to the Sunday school teachers. This is supposed to be done in our homes. So we have to have that discipline to take the time and sit everybody down. Let's dig into God's word. Let's see what God has to say. And leading our family in that way. So as we grow in discipline, we have to grow in the discipline to read our Bibles. We have to grow in the discipline to pray. Going back to our communication, our relationship example, for relationships to grow, there has to be communication. It has to be on both ends. If only one person is talking, maybe that one person likes to talk, but the relationship is not going to grow to what it can and should be without both sides doing the fair share of talking and listening. I did not say 50-50. I said fair share. And we know this. There are different relationships where I will do more talking, and there are different relationships where I will do less talking. If I'm the new guy on the job, I need help. So I should be listening to the people with experience guiding me. They don't need to hear my opinion all the time.
I think I know a better way to do that.
I saw a video on YouTube. No. I keep my mouth closed and I receive the wisdom. At this point in the relationship, I'm doing way more listening. That's going to make the relationship better. Okay, so with our relationship with God, it is possible we are leaning one way more than we should. So maybe we need to do more Bible reading. Maybe we need to do more praying. Maybe we need to do more both. Most of us could probably say, I could probably afford to do more both. We want to discipline ourselves to pray. We know, letter A, believers should pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, three little words, huge theology, pray without ceasing. And again, I don't think that's literal in the sense that we never say amen, because we're just always praying. But this is the lifestyle that we live. It is very normal that during the course of the day, I'm praying. Going back to last week's lesson with the idea of trusting God, prayer shows dependence on God. It shows that we understand who we are and we understand who He is. And when I'm throwing a prayer in God's direction, that's not just, I've thought of everything else. It should be at its core, an understanding in my heart. I'm talking to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who rules over everything, and He hears me and He loves me and He has the power to do something about it. We're not there yet. Ephesians 6, it's in the references in your notes. I think there's the verse in super, super small letters. I apologize. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Incredible verse on prayer. No context there. That's at the end of the section on the armor of God. So you've got your helmet, you've got your breastplate, you've got your belt, you've got your shoes, you've got your sword. You're going to battle. Here's your weapon. Your weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which Paul very clearly says is the word of God. Then right after saying that, and praying. We are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle. It may not feel like it, but Satan and his forces are not taking a day off. And Satan and his forces are coming, and the world is coming, and we need to be in this battle with the right weapons, using those weapons effectively. So we dig into God's word, and we value the amazing weapon that is prayer. And we recognize then, if you want to turn your notes over to letter B, we recognize that God answers prayers. Now let's define terms. In our culture, if I just say, God answered my prayers, I'm saying 99 times out of 100, I'm saying an incomplete sentence. When I say God answered my prayers, what I mean is God answered my prayers in the way I was hoping He would answer them. God said yes. Because at a very basic level, God answers every prayer. His answer is either yes, no, or wait. But every prayer gets answered. Okay? So we understand theologically, God very much heard my prayer and He very much answered my prayer. Maybe it's not what I wanted. Maybe it's not in the timing that I wanted, but God definitely answered my prayer. But the Bible also uses the terminology the way that we do. So a lot of times in the Bible, when it says that God answered prayers, it means, like we use it, God answered in the affirmative. God gave me what I prayed for. What an amazing God He is. Psalm 91, verse 15. God says, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. In Luke 11, 9 through 10, I'd encourage you to circle that. If you've got a pencil, sometime this week, read Luke 11. What Jesus says about prayer and his answering of prayers is amazing. Luke 11, 9 through 10, Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Some of us might have trouble with those words because we've heard them badly misused, where we've heard the preachers, when they talk about God, they're not talking about a holy, righteous, just, loving, merciful God. They're talking about a magic genie. And the way they portray this is that that magic genie just wants you to be happy. So just pray, 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 and God will just make you happy by giving you what you want. And which is a shame, because they're taking a really, really good truth and misusing it horribly, which might cause us to turn way too hard from that truth. Let's look at the truth. God is not a magic genie in the sky. He is a holy, righteous, just God who is worthy of our praise. And he's much more concerned with our holiness than our happiness. He's a loving God who does what's right. The promises of Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, that is very much in place when we're talking about the one true God. And that one true God loves his children. And that one true God loves to honor his children with good things. If anything has jumped off the pages at me at Ephesians, and I encouraged you at the beginning of the year, I said, hey, let's read Ephesians every week. There's 6 chapters in Ephesians. Read a chapter on Monday, a chapter on Tuesday, a chapter on Wednesday. Let's go through Ephesians once a week, every time, till we're done with Ephesians. Let's just get all the riches we can out of Ephesians. So I've taken that to heart, and I've been reading Ephesians every week, praying over Ephesians every week as we're going through this. And the thing that, it's one of those things where you just pray, God, show me something. I've read this book before. I've taught this book before. I know there's things I need to see. Show me. The thing that God has shown me is he is a very, very big God, and my prayers are too small. I say with shame, there have been way too many times I prayed that God would save someone. I didn't really think he was going to do it. And I prayed that God would heal someone, but I didn't really believe it was going to happen. Shame on me. God is bigger than my prayers. God can answer every prayer, and he will answer every prayer, and he will answer wisely. I cannot make my prayers as small as my understanding of God. My prayers have to be big. Big, bold prayers to a big, powerful, loving God. What a beauty that God answers prayer. And let her see, when we see Jesus, we see an incredible discipline in him when he prayed. If there was anybody holy enough, they didn't really need to be a prayer warrior, it was Jesus. But when we see Jesus, we see quite the opposite. Mark 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Luke 5:16. So Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 22:41. This is right up before he's crucified. He himself, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed. So using Jesus as our model, we see Jesus had a heart that prayed without ceasing. I'll tell you a story. Worked at Awana camp many, many years. You get kids for a week. A lot of times you get kids I never met before. So I want to know the kids. So they'd have this little questionnaire they would fill out, and I'd grab them afterwards. Hey, man, tell me about your answers. Tell me about you. Tell me, why'd you answer this? What do you think about this? Just trying to get to know them. And so one of the questions would be, I read my Bible, and there'd be 4 options. Daily, occasionally, rarely, never. It's Bible camp. Nobody ever said never. Almost everybody said rarely. Almost everybody. There were a couple of disciplined kids. Most of them were being honest-ish. and said rarely. Oh, okay, tell me about your Bible reading, and then they'd tell you. The next question, I pray daily, regularly, rarely, never. Daily. 9 times out of 10, I don't really read my Bible, but I pray every day. Cool. Tell me about your prayer life. Oh, you know. No, I don't. Keep going. Oh, you know, sometimes you just walk in and just like, you know, you pray. And sometimes you got like a test and, you know, you didn't study the day before, so you pray. And sometimes, you know, you get caught, so, you know, you pray. What about quiet one-on-one time with you and the Lord? Oh, no, I don't really do that. You know, thank you for your honesty. I don't say it right then, but I try to build the relationship throughout the week. Good for you for praying in these tough situations, but let's not fool ourselves and say you pray daily. Those are just words of desperation. And there's a place for that. Don't hear me. Let me say it right. There's a place for that. If we're going to grow in the discipline to grow in Christ-likeness, it's not just I pray when I remember it. It's the mindset. This is so important to me. I reserve time with God in prayer. This is something that has to be a part of my day. Because we reserve time for things that are important. Dinner matters to me. My wife knows that my tummy knows when we're past dinner time. Hannah, it's 5:02. Dinner's important to me. It's on the schedule. Brushing my teeth is not important to me, and that's still on the schedule. If I can make time to brush my teeth every day, then I have the discipline to read my Bible and pray every day. So we have to grow, and we have to make these things a priority and truly, truly cherish and desire to grow in these things and recognize it does take discipline and a specific directed discipline. These are the things that matter. I want to grow in godliness. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And God's called me to do some things. So by God's grace, I'm going to do those things. And as we're closing, because I didn't have the discipline to redeem my time very well and I've gone way too long, we'll go through the last point a little quicker. I have to grow in the discipline of serving others. Every believer is called to serve. We are all in a position as the body of Christ to serve one another. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Romans 15:1-2, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. We are called to serve. It's a great privilege and responsibility and joy that we have as children of God. And letter B, and we talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago, every believer is gifted to serve. We'll read 1 Peter 4:10-11. These two verses are a beautiful summary of the spiritual gifts that the Bible talks about. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You have in there also a longer section on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's an amazing, it's a longer passage, an amazing passage on the gifts of the Spirit, which gives the analogy that Pastor Brian gave us a few weeks ago of us as the body of Christ. And Paul uses the example of a physical body. Our body needs the different parts to function. And Paul gets very, he speaks in a way that kids would understand. If our whole body was an ear, how useful are you going to be? Sure, you hear everything, but you can't do anything. So we don't pry, I wish I had that gift. Okay. But what gift did God give you? Then that's your part in the body, and you best bless God's people when you use that gift that God has given you. So we understand. Let's take a step back and think about this. The God of the universe knows you so intimately. He knows exactly your best way to bless others. And he gives you the gift and desire and ability to be the blessing you are supposed to be to your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's amazing. Every one of us. Every one of us. And you know, then there's that, I wish I had that gift. I wish I had that. As an introvert, I wish I had a different gift a lot of times. I wish I had the gift of cleaning toilets. I could do my work. Everybody would leave me alone. Some days, that sounds great. It's not what God gave me. God gave me this gift, and I take very seriously the responsibility. I will give an account of how I use the gift he gave me. Okay, God, you didn't make a mistake. I'm pretty wimpy. Use me. And how much we bless if every Sunday, again, part of that Saturday night prayer, not just God, here's the verses, speak to me, but God, you know my gifts. Tomorrow morning, use me. And let me be humble enough that I can receive the gifts from others. Because others are trying to pray in the same prayer and trying to be just as faithful, and we have that fight by the Lord. No, you go in first. No, you go in first. I'll let you serve me. I'll go in first. You can have that spiritual reward. I'll take tomorrow's. We bless each other. And some of us are in different places. Maybe we were like kingpin serving guy, and now we're older, and we can't do as much serving as we used to. But we got that heart to serve. I used to be the guy that when people had to move, I was the one move. I make the couch up by myself. Yeah. Now I throw up my back when I sneeze. So I can't do that anymore. What do? Go back to point two. Pray. I used to do this, this, and this, and I can't anymore. Love your servant's heart. Pray. I used to. Praise the Lord that you used to be able to do that. God's got you in a different place. Honor God with that. They used to say you should pray with your eyes open with two books in front of you, your Bible open and your church directory open. You pray God's word, then you look at your directory and you pray for God's people. We don't really have a church directory. We're a little too high tech for that. You've got a phone. Letter B. Start praying for people in letter B. Letter G. That's where I am. Start praying for people in letter G. Got your Facebook list. What do I pray for today? You look at their name. You look at their face. I pray for this person. Then you look at, I don't even know how to pray for that person. You know what really blesses people? Asking, how can I pray for you today? How can I pray for you this week? We pray. Faithfully. With discipline, with love, with care. We read our Bible, we pray, and we serve. Serving is a blessing, but let's be real, serving is work. It is hard, hard work. Some of us have served our spouse. And it hasn't been noticed, and it hasn't been appreciated, or maybe the worse. We served, and instead of being appreciated, it was ridiculed because it wasn't done right. And some of us have served our kids. And we serve our kids caring for their heart, caring for their soul, desiring that they would walk with the Lord, and they've grown up, and not only are they not walking with the Lord, they hate us for pointing us in that direction. Some of us serve faithfully at church, and I loved this person. I served this person. I sacrificed time. I sacrificed dollars. I spent so much time investing in this person. I got mad and they left the church and they trashed my reputation on the way out the door. And we look at that track record and we ask ourselves a very reasonable question. Why open up my heart like that again? Because that hurt. That left scars that I still feel. That brings tears still through the days and the weeks. It's easier to come into church and be the passive spectator. So why not just do that? Paul knew this truth. Paul knew serving was hard. And Paul had been hurt more times than we could ever imagine. 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Galatians 6:9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." I don't know about you, I need this verse every now and again. Because every now and again, I'm ready to give up serving for a while. Because I'm hurting. What a blessing it is to come back to a verse like this to be reminded, God does not hold me responsible for results. What God asks of us is faithfulness. And we serve, and we serve, and we open our hearts up, and we get hurt again, and we leave it to the Lord. Because going back to when answers prayer, sometimes the answer to prayer is later, and sometimes the person we invest in doesn't come to the Lord till long after we're gone. And we've been called home. And at that point, we're like, what was the use of that one? Should have spent that time over here. And in eternity, God says, look what I did through your faithfulness. Look at the generations and generations and generations of impact made. Because you didn't lose heart, you were faithful. And again, keeping in mind, as we desire to grow in discipline, to read our Bible, to pray, and to serve others, serve others through hard work, Jesus is our example. Jesus felt all of this. Jesus was the one who was infinitely faithful. And he was betrayed, and he was hurt, and he was broken. By God's grace, he kept his eyes on eternity, and he was faithful. May God give us the grace to be disciplined and faithful for his kingdom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've called us to something much bigger and greater than we are. You've called us to be holy just as you are holy, and we recognize in and of ourselves we fall so, so short of being holy. But you don't just call us to be holy, you call us to pursue holiness. And you remind us over and over again that you answer these prayers. So Father, we pray. We pray that we would be more disciplined in reading the word that you've given to us. May we truly desire to have a better relationship with you. May we understand the value of hearing you speak to us through your word. May we value this enough that we prioritize it, not just having a general discipline, but having discipline in this direction, to truly desire to grow closer to you, to truly have the discipline to read your word, to truly have the discipline to pray, to sacrifice time every day set apart for you and your kingdom, communicating with you, coming before your throne, asking great things of you because you are a God who can do great things. And as we pursue Christ-likeness, may we have the same servant's heart that Jesus had. May we truly prioritize serving one another, especially within our spiritual gift. And may we appreciate that the best way to serve our brothers and sisters is to pray for them. May we regularly, joyfully, and with great expectation, pray for one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.